16, just as we are thinking about Jesus being the good shepherd, we'll say these words out loud together. The Lord is my shepherd, from the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's stand to sing number 748. If you're using one of the hymn books, what a wonderful... If you have a Bible, please turn with me to John chapter 10. I'm going to read from verse 11, continuing from the verses we looked at 2 weeks ago. This is John chapter 10, beginning to read at verse 11. This is Jesus speaking. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and authority to take it up again. This command I receive from my Father. At these words, the Jews were again divided. Many of them said, "He is demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him?" But others said, "These are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" Let's pray together. Father, thank you that you are our shepherd. And we just pray that the reality this morning would be that we would know and hear your voice and we would follow you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This time of year in the country, areas around the country are known as, among sheep farmers anyway, as lambing time. And the range of duties the shepherd has are vast. The shepherd takes on the role of midwife, helping you bring lamb or lambs into the world. They take on the role of GP, administering injections, vaccines, and monitoring general health. They take on the role of dietitian, feeding the right levels of grass with a variety of supplements. They take on the role of social worker, where a mother sheep has had perhaps triplets or quadruplets or whatever fivelets is, and they perhaps take some lambs off and relocate that lamb to another family that perhaps will be able to cope a bit more with the demands of an additional lamb. They take on the role of podiatrist, caring for the sheep's feet and toenails. And I'm sure we could go on and on and on, speaking about all the different roles that a shepherd has towards his or her sheep. The shepherd's care is holistic. The well-being of the sheep is his or her chief concern. But having said that, and this is just as true of shepherds in the West as it is shepherds in the East, no matter how good that shepherd is, at this time of the year, sadly, there will be losses. Losses to lambs and also losses to sheep. No matter how good the shepherd is, some sheep will die of disease. Some sheep will be attacked from some predator or other. See, a shepherd's care is not perfect. It's certainly not infallible. In fact, the shepherd, however much it's committed to his or her sheep, the shepherd still has to sleep. The shepherd still has to rest. They simply cannot be there with the sheep the whole time. There are many issues that are outside a shepherd's control, or many issues that the shepherd is simply in the dark about. I mean, the shepherd doesn't have perfect knowledge about disease and what could happen to any one of his or her sheep. Now, that cannot be said of Jesus. This morning, Jesus states in his word, speaking to us, he says, "I am the good shepherd." His knowledge and his control and his commitment is 100%. The Lord Jesus Christ never clocks off. The Lord Jesus Christ never needs to take a coffee break. He is the perfect, ultimate shepherd. He's certainly not the shepherd that you or I deserve, but he certainly is the shepherd that we cannot live without. And in our verses this morning, what we're going to unpack is simply this whole idea of what it means for Jesus to be the first shepherd. So if you have a Bible, please open it. You'll find that useful as we go this morning. So we're in John 10, verse 11. So in verses 11 to 13, firstly in this passage, in Jesus being the good shepherd, we see that the good shepherd Jesus cares for the sheep. In the verses 11 to 13, two types of carers are contrasted. Firstly, there is the shepherd, and then secondly, you'll notice in those verses, there is the hired hand. And the comparison is made in those verses to make Jesus just shine as truly the good shepherd who cares for his sheep. So firstly, the shepherd owns the sheep, those verses tell us. And because he owns the sheep, the shepherd obviously cares for the sheep because they are his. They belong to him. And because of that care and that ownership, verse 11 is true. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Now, obviously, within the analogy, the shepherd is not deliberately, intentionally giving his life for a sheep. That would be stupid, wouldn't it? It'd be crazy for a shepherd to deliberately give his life for a sheep. No, that would be crazy. But the shepherd's care is such that he's certainly willing to risk his life for the protection of the sheep. And that may even lead to, unintentionally, him losing his life in the process. But it's never the intention. And of course, when we think about the Bible and look specifically at the Old Testament, we see that clearly modeled, don't we, in the life of David. Do you remember what David said to King Saul when he's wanting to fight with Goliath? David said this, "When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it." That's amazing stuff, isn't it? David is willing to take on a bear to rescue his sheep. That's what a good shepherd does. Now, contrast that approach with the hired hand that we see in verses 12 and 13. The hired hand, when trouble comes along, what does he do? So the hired hand, he spots the wolf. What does he do? He looks after his own skin rather than the skin of the sheep. He abandons the sheep. And because he abandons the sheep, as a result, the sheep are left vulnerable. They're attacked and the verses tell us they would be scattered. Why does the hired hand act in that way? He acts in that way because of verse 13. Verse 13 says the man runs away because he is the hired hand. What does it say next? And cares nothing for the sheep. See, the hired hand is just full of self-interest. He's all about preserving his own skin. What a contrast to David. What a contrast to the good shepherd who has full commitment and care for the sheep. Now, Jesus is obviously using picture language. He's using an illustration from the real life world to explain something other, something else. And Jesus is also building on many images and pictures that are seen in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, there are numerous occasions where people are referred to as shepherds for God's people, Israel. So to name two, Moses, and also, like already mentioned, David, they are both referred to as leaders of God's people as being shepherds. But God himself is also pictured in the Old Testament as a shepherd. Notably in Psalm 100, which we looked at earlier this year, it says, "Know that the Lord is God, it is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture." But then also in the Old Testament, not only do we have positive references to shepherds looking after God's people, we also have many references to worthless shepherds. Now, obviously, they are the people who Jesus is speaking to as the hired hands. They are people who are full of self-interest. So listen to some words from Ezekiel 34. "Woe to the shepherds of Israel who only take care of themselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? You eat the curds, clothe yourselves with the wool, and slaughter the choice animals. But you do not take care of the flock. You have not strengthened the weak or healed the sick or bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strays or searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally." So they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And when they were scattered, they became food for all the wild animals. What a contrast. We have Moses, we have David, we have God himself, who are good shepherds, who care for the people. But then we have these religious leaders, self-serving Pharisees who do not reflect God's own heart. Leaders who are much more like the hired hands who, when the going gets tough, just run. But this is where it gets exciting, because in the book of Ezekiel, God, in this lament against those self-seeking shepherds, in that rebuke, he says this. Listen to this. This is Ezekiel 34. I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so will I look after my sheep. So there is this great promise in Ezekiel that God himself will come and look after his people, his sheep. And then we open John 10, we get to John 10 and verse 11, and we read Jesus declaring to all the people, "I am the good shepherd." Jesus said, "I'm the one that Ezekiel 34 was speaking about." And the picture is, I am that true, perfect shepherd who will come and tend my flock. Where the Pharisees, the religious leaders, where human shepherds, shepherd of people, get it wrong, Jesus is saying, "I am the one who cares for you. I'm not like a hired hand. I'm not going to run when the going gets tough. I care for you." This morning, take that on board. Jesus is saying, if you're one of his sheep, if you're following his voice, Jesus is saying to you this morning, I am the good shepherd. I care for my sheep. Jesus cares for you. Now, the following are all fictional, but based on real people, although many of the details have been changed. Frank was a professing Christian. He knew all the right answers, but he was looking for care in all the wrong places. The main place was in relationships. He found a relationship, but things went sour. Now he feels abandoned, let down, and hurt. Gemma attended church, but nothing made her happy like a new bag or a new pair of shoes. She had money, so it was not a problem. It's not like she was running up big debts. But the thing was, they soon started to feel old. She had to go and repeat the same thing time after time. Bruce threw himself into work. He'd been brought up in a Christian family. He made a commitment when he was younger, but now he didn't always make it to church. Because of work and other commitments, things had begun to slip a little bit. Now, he helped out now and again, but normally when he went to church, it all felt pretty dull, pretty lifeless, although most of the time his mind was constantly on other things. But he was successful in his work, but all he wanted was to be that bit further up the career ladder. Now, those three illustrations, we all probably know people that sort of fit into those categories. It's amazing, isn't it, how we look to other things for care, to make us feel good. Now, we could all think of a million and one illustrations of how we can all do that personally in our own lives, things we look to for care. But looking for care, ultimate fulfillment in anything other than the Good Shepherd Jesus is looking to a hired hand. Now, a hired hand seems okay for the fair weather, but what can a handbag, a position in a firm, or a relationship, what can those things do to protect us against the predator of death? Those things might feel good in the here and now, but they can't bring peace and contentment. They can't bring that which we crave. The Apostle Paul, he said that he'd learnt the secret of being content. The secret of being content in plenty, and the secret of being content in need. And that ultimately was through relying on the shepherd. Why? Because the shepherd cares for the sheep. The Lord Jesus longs to satisfy us. And as we turn from all those other things to him, we find satisfaction. Turning from him only leads to want. And we just read it in the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. Now, one practical way that we can follow Jesus' voice, of course, is simply obedience to his commands. Those commands are preventative. They stop us going down paths that lead to want and destruction and tragedy. So that's one way that we can experience the Good Shepherd's care. Anyway, let's move on to verses 14 to 16. In these verses, so we've seen that the Lord Jesus is the Good Shepherd who cares for his sheep. In verses 14 to 16, we see that the Lord Jesus is the Good Shepherd who knows his sheep. The other day I was watching a mother talking to their child. This child, I don't know, was probably 18 months to 2 years old, somewhere around there, I'm not precisely sure. But anyway, this child was still very much learning to speak and couldn't really say too many words. But what this child was saying sounded to me like grunts and a few words that you couldn't really make out. But this child's mother knew exactly what was being said. This child's mother knew exactly what this child was requesting. And of course, you all know that. You've all seen that, or you've maybe experienced it yourself. A parent could understand their child in such a way that they know what's being said, even though maybe nobody else, a stranger, nobody else can understand, just because that intimate relationship that exists. Now, Jesus, in these verses, is speaking about how he has one flock made up of Jews and Gentiles. That's the point Jesus is getting across in verse 16. And those in that one flock, He knows them intimately and individually. How do we know that? We know that because of verse 15. This is an amazing verse. Verse 15 says, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. Jesus is trying to illustrate the knowledge the sheep have of the shepherd and the shepherd has of the sheep. And what he points to is the relationship he has with his Father. So Jesus is saying, I know my sheep as intimately as I know my own Father. Jesus, as the good shepherd, says that he knows you, if you're one of his sheep, as well as he knows his own Father. That is amazing. Jesus knows you more intimately than a mother does her own child. He knows everything that's going on in your heart, everything that's going on in your mind. He knows us intimately. He knows our strengths and our weaknesses. He knows areas in which we struggle. He knows exactly what we need so that we'll be more healthy sheep. Now, what does that mean? He knows everything we need so that we'll reflect better the Lord Jesus Christ. He knows what you need to face in your life so that you'll be molded more into the image of the Lord Jesus. There is an absolutely incredible verse in the book of Exodus. God's brought the people of Israel out of Egypt, and we read this verse. It says this, he did not take them the way of the Philistines, though it was shorter. For God said, if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. Now, the Israelites didn't know that. They didn't know that God had chosen to take them the long way round to make sure that they avoided the Philistines. Now, in their minds, probably what it felt like is we're going on quite a long trudge here. But God knew what he was doing because he knew their struggles. He knew them intimately and he knew what they couldn't deal with. So as a result, he took them the long way round. I wonder how often God does that in our lives without us even knowing it. Because the Israelites didn't know that had happened. It was only because Moses wrote it down, God revealed it to him. I wonder how often God prevents us from facing certain things. Through a phone call. Through a sickness book. Through a change in circumstances. For us, all it feels like is the long way round. But God knows us intimately. He knows what it will take to make us the people that he would have us be. He knows. And so he deals with us as his sheep, leading us the way which is best for us. A couple of weeks ago, I was asked this question, and it was by nobody here, nobody that you know. If God knows I'm hurting, then why doesn't he help me? That's a great question, isn't it? If God knows that I'm hurting, then why doesn't he help me? Now, I gently pointed out to that questioner that there is an assumption in that question which simply isn't true. See, the assumption is God isn't helping me. But the reality is, as a shepherd who knows us intimately, he's guarding us in such a way each day to make sure more doesn't come into your world or my world that we can't deal with without his help and care. Each and every day, every moment, he's making sure that we are not going the way of the Philistines or whatever it is for us, because he knows us intimately and he knows what is too much for us to deal with. What a great shepherd. That's only true of one shepherd. There's only the Lord Jesus Christ that can do that for you. Nobody else can. Nobody else knows you that intimately. Do you know him? Do you know him? Those verses, notice, don't just say that he knows us, but those verses also tell us that actually the sheep know him intimately. That's what verse 14 is saying. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. That short, simple video, is that what you're like? Hear the shepherd's voice, hear what Jesus is saying and following. Or are you following all the wrong voices? Jesus is the good shepherd who knows the sheep. Verses 17 to 19. Jesus is the good shepherd who voluntarily lays down his life for the sheep. Now, this is a place where the illustration of the shepherd and the sheep has to be left behind. It cannot be pushed too hard. Like we've already mentioned, a shepherd might end up laying down his life for the sheep, but that's never the intention. That is never something a shepherd would plan to do. But Jesus is the good shepherd who intentionally, deliberately plans to give his life for his sheep. Now, sheep are not as valuable as people. As much as we should care for all God's creation, and as good a company as pets can be, and animals are, and that's all great, but animals are not the pinnacle of God's creation. People are. It's people who are made in the image of God. So there is a step down in value from a human being or a shepherd and a sheep. But let me tell you, the step between a shepherd and a sheep is nothing in comparison to the step between the uncreated one and his creation. The one who is self-sufficient and those who are dependent. The step between God Almighty and you and I is massive. But Jesus, the good shepherd, chooses to give, lay down his life for his people, his sheep. Verse 18 says, "No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father." Jesus is handing over his life for his sheep. On Friday, we're going to remember Good Friday. That wasn't something that was outside of Jesus' control. That was the shepherd choosing to die for our care. The shepherd, knowing the mess we're in, knowing what it would take to fix it, and choosing to go the way to fix our wrong thoughts, our wrong attitudes, to fix that sin problem that we have so that we can receive his life because he has given it on our behalf, so that we can have access to the sheepfold. Now, I want you to know something really, really significant this morning, and I think this is something that so often we can forget. God knows the mess that we're in. He knows the wrong thoughts that we have. He knows all about our sin. And I think at times we can sometimes think that God reluctantly decides to forgive us. Now, be under no illusion this morning. God hates the wrong things that you do, and he hates the wrong things that I do. But God delights in rescuing lost sheep. God delights in rescuing lost sheep. This is bound up in the eternal purposes of God. Look at verse 17. "The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again." The reason the Father loves Jesus is because he will lay down his life and take it up again. God delights in Jesus because eternally Jesus has chosen to be obedient to the Father. And that obedience involves this salvation plan. God loves the fact, delights in the fact that Jesus is willing to lay down his life for his sheep so that we can be brought into his eternal care, into that great fold. Final point seen in verses 19 to 21. Jesus is the good shepherd who divides opinion. Verse 19, at these words, the Jews were again divided. Many of them said, "He is demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him?" But others said, "These are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" Some Jews thought Jesus was mad, possessed by an evil spirit. Others thought, because of the power that was on display, he can't be mad. They didn't really understand who he was, but they thought, he's not mad, he's not evil. Here's where it gets personal this morning. What do you conclude? The reason the Jews were so divided was because of the absolute claims of Jesus that we see in this passage. Jesus is claiming to be the good shepherd, the one that Ezekiel spoke of. Jesus is claiming to be God, come to the rescue of his scattered flock. Be under no illusion. Jesus is claiming to be God. Jesus is also accusing the religious leaders of being the hired hands. You can understand why the Jews were so angry, because they thought they were doing the will of God. But also, Jesus claims that not only can he lay down his life, but he can also take it up again. You can understand if they don't think Jesus is God, you can understand why they think he was mad, because nobody can decide to lay down their life and then take it up again. What's your view? What's your view of these claims of Jesus? What's your view of the claim that Jesus is the good shepherd, he is God Almighty? The one who truly cares for his people, the one who knows his people intimately, and the one who will die for them. What do you think of that claim? There is no better shepherd, but here's the thing. If you acknowledge that Jesus is the good shepherd, and you are his sheep, do you realise that means you are saying you're coming under his authority? You're coming under the shepherd's leadership. If you're part of his flock, then he's in charge. It means submitting to his way, even if it means not going the way of the Philistines, even if it means my life is not going the way that I think it should go. See, that is the only path for true contentment. It's the only path for true satisfaction, but it means acknowledging that I am a sheep and he is a shepherd. He is king, I am his servant or slave. So the closing question this morning is, will you or won't you embrace him as your shepherd? Let's bow our heads and let's for a moment reflect on that. Now, maybe you asked the Lord Jesus to be your shepherd many, many years ago. Well, rejoice in the fact that he has been keeping you ever since. But maybe this morning, if you've never placed yourself under his care, but also leadership, why not in your own heart just tell him that you want him to be your shepherd? Father God, as individuals and as a church, we want to be those who hear the voice of the good shepherd and follow obediently. Forgive us at times when we kick against the shepherd and want to go our own way and wander. Father, please mend our hard hearts. Help us to see that Jesus is the good shepherd, the one who cares, and help us to trust each day into his hands. And we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. There is only one hymn that we can close by singing, and that is 1008, The Lord's My